This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.
Come on, are you ready?
Wake up.
Come on, let's go, let's get ready. I need you to be participatory today, all right? So this is going to be good. I believe the Lord, I'm excited to preach to you today. I believe the Lord has given me a message for you and for us. It's a little different, I know that, but I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you today in your walk and in your faith, and we're going to talk about that. And last week we talked about wilderness survival, and so we're going to talk about wilderness survival part two, but we're going to add another word there, and it's simply called next. And you'll hear, it'll make sense here in a moment, but talking about what's next, and I want us to be prepared for what God has for us, and I've learned a lot in my year and 9 months or so of living in Montana, that Montana has its own culture. Do you know that? It has its own culture, its own uniqueness, and I get it. I love it, but I also get it, right? Montanans, I have learned, like to make the most of every opportunity. Every opportunity they can, like whether it's buying something that they've wanted, or I've learned living here that Montanan people are resourceful. Very resourceful. I know I've learned in the church who to go to when I need this tool and that tool, or this advice or that advice. I mean, we are resourceful people. I've learned in Montana, you can have the worst looking house, but the most beautiful side by side in the parking lot, right? I've learned that here there's a season for everything. There is hunting season, ski season, right? Planting season, watering season, right? I told my wife last night as we watched our sprinklers come on in our yard that I felt like a true Montana person when my sprinklers come on, because that's what we do all summer is water our lawns, right? You can't enjoy them, you just water them, right? So watering season, there's summer season, which we're in right now. Last year I went into depression mode and thought everyone hated me because they took off for the summer. And I learned that's just Montana. There's a season for everything. And here's what I believe with all of my heart, with all of my soul. God has a season for us. I believe this with all of my heart, my soul, that God has a season for you, a specific season. And we're going to embrace as a church, and hopefully you as followers of Christ, you want to embrace what God wants to do in you. And you want to embrace what God, we want to embrace what God wants to do in us. But in order to do that, in order to embrace that, we also have to understand seasons. We also understand where we're at and where we are going. And if we're going to embrace that and we're going to understand our season, I first want to give you some foundation that you'll hear us talk about all year long as a church. But there's some foundations that we need to be built on, or that I want us to be built on, and I believe we are built on. And they're simple things like, here's the foundation for us as a church, right? It'll be on the screen, but we love God. That should be foundational, that we love God. I think the second part that's foundational for us is that we love people. That's who we are, that's what we want to be, that's who God's commanded us to be, no matter what season we walk through. We love people. I think also our foundation is we pursue excellence. And we'll talk more about that, but some people think, well, why do we need to be excellent? You know why we need to be excellent? Because God is excellent. And so we pursue excellence in everything that we do and say and what we... And then finally, this is probably even more foundational, is that we choose joy. We choose joy. Now, that's easier said than done, right? But the reality is, if we are going to be a successful church and we're going to embrace all that God wants to do in us, then we choose joy, even in the midst of not always being joyful. In order to do that, like we talked about last week, when we talked about the wilderness, then that leads, in order to accomplish these foundational things, then we got to have a clear vision. And I think our clear vision and what I want for each and every one of your lives and for us as a church at CLC is simply, this will be on the screen as well. It's simply for us to know God. That's why we gather every day. That's why we encourage you. That's why we do things like grow you and have youth and children and women's ministry and men's ministry and the golden heirs and all the things that we do, is because our hope is that you would know God. So our vision is to know God. Oh, this one's great. Not only to know God, but to find freedom. God wants you to be free. He wants you to be free, to understand what it's like to, like I said, to wake up every morning and to choose joy. That's found in freedom. I thank God, my passion for you and our passion for a church is not to know God and not just that you find freedom, but that you discover purpose. That you discover purpose. Every one of you, no matter how young or how old you are, God has purpose for you. He has a destiny for your life. And then finally, paramount to who we are at CLC is we want to make a difference. We want to make a difference in our community, in our state, in our world. And I wish I could take the time today in the last year, 9 months, and share with you the stories of life change that has happened at our church. Like there's some of you that are sitting in the audience today that are characteristic, that are walking billboards for us of life change, of how God has changed your life, how he's grown you, what the things he's done in you. I was sitting I didn't ask permission to share this, but I don't think he'd care, but we were talking, Pastor Matt was talking to me, I think it may be up at camp, and he was just talking about, you know, being away even for the 4 weeks and coming back on Sundays. Obviously, you know, when you go away, you feel a little disconnected, and he said, you know, when I came back a Sunday ago, I almost came back with fresh eyes. And as I was sitting in our service on a Sunday morning, he goes, I felt like with these fresh eyes, I looked around and all I could say was, God, look what we've accomplished in such a short time. Look what you've done in our church in such a short time. It's amazing to see the life change and things that happen. But in spite of all that, in spite of all that we've accomplished, in spite of all that you've walked through and experienced God in your life, I want you to know there is more. God has more for us. God has more for you. And wilderness, last week we talked about wilderness survival, and one thing that we said, one key paramount thing that we said is this: God might not take you out of the wilderness, but he will get you through. He might not take you out of the wilderness, but he will get you through. And no matter where you are in faith, whether you're going through the wilderness or you're coming out of the wilderness, sometimes we are left with a question for God. And the question that we have is simply this: what's next? I don't know if you've ever been there before, you know, but God, what do I do now? What are you trying to teach me? Why have you led me through the thing? Why have I experienced the things that I've experienced? Like, what's next? What are you trying to teach me? And hear me, that question is paramount. If you are new to faith, if you're a new Christian, it's probably the question that we walk away. And every brochure that we give a new believer probably says, what's next? That's the question that they have. What is next for my life? Okay, I've turned things around. What's next for me? But can I submit to you today that I also believe that that's the same question that we have for those who've been serving Jesus for years and years? Like, God, what's next? What do you have for me? What do you want to do? What do you have? What's next for me? What's next for us as a church? And wherever you are in your spiritual journey, I want you to know something. There is a next step. There is something next for you. I just want to encourage you. I love you, but none of you in this room have arrived yet. None of you have arrived yet, right? God wants to, he still has more for you. More he wants to do in you. More he wants to teach you. More he wants to bless you with. And that's what we want to continue to talk about real quickly this morning. From where you are now to where God wants you to be. Everybody has a next step. Everyone has a next moment in your life. How many of you know we serve a God of moments? We serve a God of moments. I know we have to be careful with moments, right? Because moments begin and moments end. But let's not undersell the power of godly moments. Let's don't underestimate the power of godly moments, right? Your life can change in a moment. You know that, right? Your life can change in a moment. In a moment, you can wake up in the morning and not even know that God has a divine plan for your life, and it literally shifts in a moment. I wonder sometimes, like, when I think of David and when, what was he thinking when he woke up that morning when he killed the giant Goliath, right? I can tell you it wasn't, I'm going to be the next king of Israel. He wasn't thinking that. You know what he was thinking? He was thinking, man, my dad's telling me to take some bread to my brothers who are actually fighting on the battlefield. David got up and he did what was next, right? And by doing what was next, God brought him into his destiny. It's awesome. He had no idea what the near future held for him. He just did what was next. And in a moment, his life was changed. I think about Moses, right, who's just walking out tending his sheep. He's in the wilderness, and he gets this freak burning bush experience, right, where the bush just comes on fire. Wow, this is weird. And out of this voice, this bush, God speaks to him. He had no idea that he was going, when he was going out to tend sheep that day, that his life would change in a moment. One of my favorites was here's this guy, Peter, who's in his boat, and he's been fishing all day, and he's caught nothing. And this rabbi jumps in the boat and says, hey, throw your net on the other side. And he throws the net on the other side and he catches hundreds and hundreds of fish. So much fish that to the point that the boat almost capsized. And Jesus tells him, I'm calling you today to be fishers of men. And he says to him, Jesus, wherever you go, I will go. In a moment, their lives were changed. And I know that many of you have, life has been crazy. Maybe for some of you in the room, you've been jumping from season to season. You've been jumping from event to event. Maybe you've been jumping from decision, to thing to thing, to need. And sometimes I just wish that there was a screen that could pop over your head and could display your whole life and everything that you've been through. But none of us would want that, right? Like, oh no, please, you know, too much information. Nobody needs to know the whole story of my life, right? My point is simply this. I don't know what's been following you up to this point, but hear me. In this moment, life can turn around for you. Your life can totally, it can change for you. God is that powerful that in a moment, a guy named Saul was on his donkey and he's riding on the road of Damascus and a bright light shines through the sky. And the Bible tells us that he fell off the donkey. And when he hit the ground, you know what? He didn't say, where did that come from? In fact, when he hit the ground, you know what he said? Lord. He said, Lord. And hear me, in a moment, he went from unbelief to faith. In a moment. In a moment, God can change your life. In a moment, God can tie all the questions and all the confusion together. In a moment, God can bring clarity to your season. In a moment, God can bring clarity to your wilderness. I wrote it down. I want to read to you this morning, kind of staying in that same theme. Last week, we talked in the book of Deuteronomy. I want to read to you from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 1 today. Chapter 1 is very clear. It's the beginning where Moses is talking. And I want you to get this. It'll be on the screen. Deuteronomy chapter 1, starting at verse 2. And it said this, normally it takes only 11 days to travel from Mount Sinai to Kadesh Barnea, going by way of Mount Seir. But 40 years after the Israelites left Egypt, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses addressed the people of Israel, telling everything the Lord had commanded him to say. Now, if you're not familiar with the story, most of us are, but the Israelites were leaving Egypt, right? They're leaving slavery that they've been in for 400 years, and they're going to be free. It should be a time of celebration. And God had told them that they were going to be free. And on their way out, they do some things that they lack some faith. And hear me, what was supposed to be an 11-day trip, the promised land from the time Egypt to where they were going, the promised land was an 11-day trip. What was supposed to be an 11-day trip ended up taking 40 years. In chapter 2 of Deuteronomy, Moses is speaking the same story, but this time he's telling it from the first person. And he summarizes it. But Here's what he summarized, but here's what's changing. Here's what's going on that's different. And at the end of this verse, you're going to hear the moment when it all shifted. 40 years of wandering, 40 years of not receiving the thing that God had promised them that he would said he would give them, 40 years of walking around things, 40 years of hoping, 40 years of fighting, 40 years of wrestling, 40 years of struggling, 40 years of season after season after season. It all starts to turn around in a moment. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 1. It says this, "Then we turned around and headed back across the wilderness toward the Red Sea, just as the Lord has instructed me. And we wandered around the region of Mount Seir for a long time." Now, how many of you would say, Moses, that's an understatement? A long time? You mean like 40 years? And then he says this in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 2. "Then at last," come on. "Then at last, the Lord said to me." Come on, how many of you have ever had that at last moment? At last, God. At last, it's finally come through. But there's nothing greater than an at last moment. At last, I found peace. At last, joy finally came. At last, I found hope. At last, I found strength. At last, I found life. At last, I found purpose. Hear me, with God, life can be going one way every day, and then you have an at last moment. An at last moment where it all comes together. And I just want to say, I feel like someone in this room today, as quiet as you are this morning, someone in this room today will have a testimony on July 30th, and it's going to be an at last story. At last, God spoke to me. At last, God provided for me. At last, God did something incredible for me. And that's where Moses was saying, it was like, gosh, at last. I've been wandering for 40 years, and at last, we're here. I've seemed confused for 40 years. At last, we're finally here. He goes on in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 3, and he says, God's speaking to them, and he says, "You have been wandering around this hill country long enough. Turn to the north." Turn to the north. Listen, I want to say something to you today in the room. I want to encourage you with this simple statement. I believe for some of you, and maybe all of us, it's time to turn. Your next step is it's time to turn. Have you ever tried to do something that was supposed to take 11 days, instead it took 40 years? Yeah, nobody, right? So, nobody's had that. I didn't think so. So let me rephrase the question a little bit. Maybe you can relate better. Have you ever looked at an area of your life and thought you would be further along in that area than you are right now? Thought maybe you'd be maybe your finances. You thought, well, I thought we'd be further along. Our debt should be gone by now. I thought we'd be further along. Maybe it's some of your relationships. You thought, I thought this relationship would be more healthier. It'd be farther along. Maybe it's some of the disciplines in your life or some of your habits that you thought, well, thought we'd be so much further along than that. Maybe it's health, you know, and my health, I could be more stronger now. I'd be more healthier now. This part of me would be gone. Maybe you thought you'd be further along in your career. Why haven't I advanced? Why haven't things gone better? Why haven't I seen more money come in my pocket? Maybe there's issues with yourself or issues in your marriage, and you've listened to all the podcasts and you've tuned into all the conferences that you can, and you've looked to every post on Dr. Facebook to help you, right? To get advice. And you thought we should be farther along than we are right now. Maybe even with your faith, you're doing all the right things and you thought, man, why am I not farther along than I am right now? And I want you to know that the people of Israel that we read about can actually really relate with you. They can relate to maybe what you're feeling. The Bible says this, they were wandering around Mount Seir for 40 years. Can I say something to y'all? That's not a metaphor. That's not a metaphor. They literally were walking. This is from Kids Church, by the way. Walking around Mount Seir, the same mountain, for 40 years. The same view, the same mountain. They just literally walked around for 40 years. Kind of crazy when you think about it. 40 years going around the same place, doing the same direction, going the same way, walking around Mount Seir in circles every day. And I think God wants someone in this room to know, maybe you feel like you've been walking around the same struggles every day. Some of you have been walking through life looking at the same things, feeling the same way, accepting the same things. Life just becomes normal, and you feel like I'm just walking around. Every day, it's there. I believe this. It's possible to still love God, yet be walking around the same issues. It's possible to love God and still be walking around the same issues days and nights and moving on and on. There are parents who have been walking around their children for years, fasting, praying over their children, walking on the same mountain every year saying, God, help my children. They're not living the life they're supposed to live. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. And we know that, and yet we see nothing, and we just continue to walk with the same struggles. There are some of us who have been walking around the same health issues, the same mental issues, and it just seems like it's always nagging. It never goes away. It's there, and it just feels like I'm just walking around the same thing. Some of us have habits and things in our lives that, man, we would love to have relief from, and yet we still walk around the same thing every day, every year, and it never seems to change. Listen, if there's anybody who knows what you feel like, it had to be the people of Israel, walking the same journey every day. But I want to let you know something else about that. I want to let you know something else too. Even in the wandering, it'll be on the screen, even in the wandering, God was there. Even in the wandering, God was there, right? Even in your wandering, God is there. He's always with you. God is really great at making clear your next steps. He will always tell you where to go, even when you don't know where to go. He's good. God is just that great. God, hear me this morning. God, I wrote it down this way. God will make clear your next step, even when you don't know what the next step, even when you don't know the next step is clear to you. Let me explain that for just a moment real quick. We like the statement, right? God will make it clear to me. God will know the next step. He'll do all. We like that statement, but we don't always know what that means. And hear me, the Bible says that there was a cloud of smoke and fire that went ahead of the Israelites. And it was called a cloud by day and a fire by night. They always had direction from God. And everywhere they went, they had this direction given to them. In fact, the only place we see in the Bible where the cloud goes away is when they're about to enter the promised land. Which tells me that there's no reason not to believe that that cloud was ahead of Israel the whole time. Every time they're walking around Mount Seir, that cloud is with them. Whenever the cloud would move, the people would move. How many of you would love to have that in your life? Come on, right? If you're in the room today, let me say, if you're in the room today and you're single and you're wondering if they are Mr. or Mrs. Right, wouldn't it be great if just a cloud came over them? Just hover over that person, right? And like, okay, this Mr. Right. Like the job, you know, just hover over if it's the right job. The decision you have to make, wouldn't that be great if God just sent a cloud and it just hovered over your decision and you just knew, okay, that's the right one. That's the, just bring a cloud, God. And I know some of you are thinking, we are in Montana. We have that cloud. It's called fire season, right? So it's with us. But listen, it was that clear to those people. But here's the thing. When they are wandering around the mountain, they're wandering, even though they have the cloud, they're wandering around the mountain. You ever wonder why someone would wander around a mountain the same direction for 40 years? It's because the cloud was telling them to. They followed wherever the cloud, maybe it didn't make sense, but they knew it was God, and so we're just gonna follow the cloud. They were just moving and moving and following the cloud for 40 years. God made clear to them the next step, the next step, the next step. What wasn't clear was why they were taking it. Why did they continue to follow it? to wake up every day for 40 years to take one more step and not get any closer to your destiny. Some of you feel that way. Wake up every day and I'm not getting any closer to my destiny. Can you imagine how frustrating that must have been? I'm doing what you told me to do, God. I'm following you. See, I believe this. See, the struggle in my life is not knowing what to do. Hear me. The struggle in my life is trying to figure out if what I'm doing is working. I'm coming to church. Is that working? I'm praying. Is that working? I'm worshiping God. Is it working? I'm doing all the right things. I'm making the right choices, but are they working in my life? I'm taking steps that God's making clear, but the steps that I'm taking aren't really changing my environment. And we start to wonder, am I just walking around a mountain here? Because I don't see any change. I think of my own personal life, like my life and my calling. Like, I know I'm supposed to preach, and I know for you I'm supposed to prepare to preach, and I'm supposed to pray for preaching. But I just wonder sometimes, is preaching even working? Like sometimes I'll preach a message and one person will come up to me and they'll say, "That, thank you so much. That word, it helped me. God used it to speak into my life. Thank you so much, Pastor." And then another person sends a message or writes a review that something that I said they're upset with. Maybe they took it the wrong way, and so they criticize me, or they criticize the church, or they even leave the church. And sometimes it makes me wonder if it's working, or are we just walking around the mountain, just going in circles? We're just walking around. And some of you can relate to life like that. You're doing all the right things, but the environment doesn't seem to change. I'm just kind of walking around the mountain. It's kind of crazy that way. Some people here today, you've been doing the right things for years, but the people around you who have been doing all the wrong things seem to have all the favor. You know what I'm talking about? They seem to have all the blessings. The ones who are, they're mean, they're sneaky, they lack honesty, integrity, and yet they seem to be advancing, and I just seem to be walking around the mountain. And we're just looking at the Lord saying, "Hey, is following you working? Is it really working? I know you're telling me to take steps, God. I know you're telling me to pray. I know you're telling me to lean forward, to learn more from your word. I'm doing everything you said. You've made it clear, right? Love your enemy. Pray. Seek you. Worship you. Serve. Tithe. Give. I'm doing everything you've asked me to do. I'm totally and completely doing everything you want me to do. I'm just wondering, God, is any of this making a difference? Is any of this taking me anywhere? Because I see the same mountain in my life all the time. You know what's even more amazing than walking around the mountain for 40 years? Is not leaving. You notice they didn't leave. They still walked around the mountain for 40 years. Anyone could say, "I'm leaving. I'm going to go a different direction." Can we talk about that miracle for a second? They walked around the same mountain for 40 years, and nobody thought to themselves, "Hey, we should probably find another God. Like, I don't know, this one, his GPS is clearly messed up, right? Like, he's on Google Maps instead of Apple Maps, right, or something. Like this isn't working. We need to switch this up." But you know why they never left? Because there was a time in their history where God gave them a direction that they didn't understand, yet they followed and saw his faithfulness. They trusted him. Look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 1. It says this, it says, God spoke to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn around and make camp at Pi Haroth." Now, this is a problem, church, because they were leaving Egypt, about to go into the wilderness, which was on the border of the promised land, which was on the border of what God had promised them. And there was nothing standing before them. Right before they were about to step into the very thing that God had asked them to step into, God says, "Wait." And he took them around. He took them around. He sends them back the way they came. Like, how foolish is this? He sends them back the way they came in front of the Red Sea. And all the while, they're thinking, God, you've lost your mind. God, you're crazy. We were right there. We were already at that place. We were almost out of bondage. Why are you sending us back? Why would you stop us now? And here's what God said, Exodus 14, verse 3. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are lost. They're confused. The wilderness has closed in on them. Come on. Then I'll make Pharaoh's heart stubborn again, and he'll chase after them. Why, God? Why would you do this? Why would you do that? Why would you put them through all this? Look at the next verse. And I'll use Pharaoh and his army to put my glory on display. I'll use Pharaoh and his army to put my glory on display. You see, God knew if I just let them go, what will they do? Now, some of you are going to like this statement, but please don't take it out of context. But I believe this. God is not in the delivery business. If he was, he would just try to deliver you as quickly as possible. And I think we all would love that. But I believe this. God is in the discovery business. He's in the discovery business. And so instead of trying to give you what you ask for, he tries to show you who he is. Instead of just giving you what you ask for, he tries to show you who he really is. Because in every season of your life, what you really need is God. There's a lot of things that can help you in your seasons, right? I get that. But what you really, really need is God. And the only way to really experience God is to know God, to be dependent on God. In fact, his name, when Moses asked, what's your name, so I can tell them, because they don't know who you are. You know what God, he says to them? He says to Moses, he goes, my name is Yahweh. It means I am. And he never finished the sentence. I'm sure Moses was left there scratching his head. So you want me to tell them I am? That's what you want me to tell them. God leaves the sentence blank. And I think God wanted it to be blank for whatever you would need in every season of your life. You hear me this morning? You could say, I'm lonely. I am with you. You could say, I'm confused. I am the answer. You could say, I'm fearful. And he could say, I am peace. You could say, I'm in need, and he could say, I am your provider. You could say, I am lost, and he could say, I am your salvation. You see, he wants to be the I am to whatever your season is, to whatever your wandering is. God wants to be our I am so that we can look to him. God says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you go the long way. They went the long way. Some of you can praise God in this room, right? Because you've gone the long way before. You've gone the long way in life. And some of you have gone the long way with some of your decisions. Some of you have gone the long way to get where you are today. But hear me this morning. It was going the long way that revealed God. It's the long way that reveals how good God is in your life. It's the long way that reveals how much you can truly trust him and depend on him. It's the long way that really, really reveals that I am. It's going the long way that revealed God. It's going the long way that revealed his glory, that will reveal his goodness and his peace and his patience. It's going the long way that reveals his power over your life. That's why God sends us the long way. That's why we go through wilderness experiences. Not so we can die there, but that God can journey with us through it. Listen, had you gone the shortcut, have you taken the shortcut, you would have what you have. What did you need in the next season of your life? You need a revealed God in your life. But because he sent you the long way, guess what you get to do? Because he sends us the long way, we get to meet, we get to know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because we go the long way, the next time we get confused, the next time we get distracted, you can say, hey, I'm not going to worry because I know God. I know that I am. I know who he is, and I know he is with me on the journey. Can I encourage you this morning? The first step on your journey is always God revealing himself to you. The first step, it's always God revealing himself to you. So he stood between the Egyptians and God. They stood between the Egyptians and God. One side is the Egyptians, one side is the God, and here they are in the middle of the Red Sea. And God says, I want you to go through the water. And all the way back in Exodus, we see this revelation where God has given us a picture of salvation and baptism right there at the Red Sea. And he wants you to go through the Red Sea. He wants them to go through the sea. So you've got to picture this real quick, right? Because they're in the middle. The Israelites are in the middle. And I love the middle, right? There's something about the middle. They're in the wilderness, right? And the sea is to their backs. The Red Sea is literally to their backs. And the Egyptians are coming to their front. And the Bible tells us that one of the Israelites has this idea. And he speaks up, he says, hey, if we go back to Egypt, they'll take us. Why don't we just surrender? I'd rather surrender than die. Why? They'll take us back. Because the Israelites were their slave labor. It was their workforce. So they thought, if we surrender, this one guy says, if we surrender, for Pharaoh would surely take us back. And I just want to summarize the choice for you today. Because the Israelites were in the middle. And they had two options. They had two choices. Either go back the way I came, become slaves again, or die in the wilderness. Some people live their lives in the wilderness. That's not what God intended for you, to live your life in the wilderness. It's like you're out of bondage, but you've never really stepped into all that God has for your life. It's like you're free, but you're not free. It's like you're wandering, but you're just wandering. You've never really stepped into all that God really has for your life. And I want to tell you, the wilderness is where you die. And I'd rather you go back to your old life than to live your life stuck in the wilderness. Because that's not God's destiny for you. That's not God's plan for you. Staying in the middle is the worst part. You know that? Because in the middle, you're just here. But you're also living this other life and ultimately just suffering yourself because you're never experiencing the fullness that God has for you. One of my favorite thoughts, to say it all the time, is this: nothing you do halfway is any fun. You ever notice that? Nothing you do halfway is any fun. Faith will never be fun if it's done halfway. Life will never be fun if you're just living it in the middle. So hear me this morning, you know, I say either go back or go forward. But please, please, church, don't stay in the middle. That's not what God intended for you. Either go back, make that decision, or move forward. The Bible says that God tells the Israelites to move, and they move. The Red Sea splits, and they go in the water, and they come out of the water. And I want you to get this morning. And when they came out of the water, they knew a God that they didn't know before they went in the water. They experienced something. Here, I believe this. This is why we do church. So that when you come in this place, you can experience a God that you didn't know before. And I don't care if you've been doing faith for 40, 50 years. You don't have all there is to know about God. You haven't experienced everything there is to experience about God. So our prayer and hope is that when you walk in this way, you walk out experiencing a God that you've never experienced before. He's just that good. But the Israelites had one job, folks. God did the defeating. God did the splitting of the water. God did the miracle. But the Israelites had to do the moving. The Israelites had to do the moving. They had one job. One job. They were, and hear me this morning, you got to get this. They were looking at Pharaoh. They were looking at Pharaoh face to face, right? When Moses spoke, they're looking at Pharaoh, and they had one job. If they were going to step into anything that God had for them, they had one job. You know what they had to do? They had to turn. They had to turn. Here's what I've learned. God will fight your battles. He will fight your battles. All you got to do is turn. All you've got to do is move. It's what the Bible calls repentance. It's what the Bible calls obedience. In fact, repentance in the Greek literally means to turn. To turn. To turn from your old life, your old ways, your old beliefs, your old source of dependence into a whole new life that God has for you. A whole new dream and destiny that the Lord has for your life. You know what? They didn't know. The Israelites didn't know what was on the other side of the water. They had no idea. God had made the step very clear. Turn, move. He didn't make it clear what would happen. But you know what they said? Anything is better than where we came from. Can I just say something to you? Listen, I don't know what lies ahead for you. I don't know what God has for you ahead, but it's better than where you've been. I don't know what lies ahead of me, what lies of our church, but I know that I don't want to go back to who I was. I don't know what lies ahead, but for sure, I will not stay where I'm at. I don't know what lies ahead of me, but if you tell me to move, God, I want to be willing to move with you. I don't know what lies ahead of me, but I leave all that behind. My fear, my depression, my doubt, my negativity, the unknown, and I'm going to turn and I'm going to follow you, God. And I'm going to trust you wherever I go. Wherever you go, God, my mantra is this: I will go. Wherever your cloud moves, I will follow. Hear me, church. We've got no guarantees. There's no guarantees. But I want to encourage you today, in spite of the no guarantees, will you turn? We've got no guarantees, but are you willing to move forward in spite of no guarantees? We've got no guarantees, but I do this. We cannot stay here. We have to move. Who wants to turn today? Come on, who wants to turn today? Who wants, and you might say, well, turn to who? Who? Well, Jesus. Who wants to turn to Jesus and all that he has for us, and all that he has for you? I don't know. Quickly, tomorrow, are you willing to say, God, I want what's next for my life? I want what, and you know what? Maybe it's still going to be wandering. Who knows? But no matter what, God, I want to stay in step with you. I might have the same life every day, but I know that eventually, God, you have something for me. And so I'm not going to stop moving. I'm not going to live in the middle, but I'm going to turn and I'm going to follow you. Whatever that may look like. You know, I believe this, that some of you in this room, maybe you've been coming for a short time, a long time, but I believe this. God has been speaking to people in this room. I say this prophetically, and we don't do this a lot at CLC, but that doesn't mean we're not afraid of it. We are Pentecostal, all right? And we believe in the move of God. And so I say this prophetically. I believe that God has been speaking to some of you, and you haven't moved on what God is speaking to you. Can I encourage you? It's time to move. I think sometimes we get into faith, and we ask too many questions and display a lot less faith. And maybe for some of us, it's time to take a step of faith and stop questioning. It's time to move. And I say that God's been speaking clearly to some of you, something he wants you to do, something he wants you to give, somewhere he wants you to go, something he wants you to say, and you haven't moved. And I say to you, it's time to trust God and move. Some of you, God's been encouraging you to give some things up and to do some things differently. And it's a tough thing to do because life has just been about wandering and it's become comfortable in the midst of the wandering. I think the Israelites got comfortable. Yeah, we talk about their journey and how much they wanted the promised land, but I tell you what, there had to be some comfortability knowing there was a cloud by day and a fire by night. There had to be some comfortability that you never went thirsty and you never went hungry. There had to be some comfortability knowing that God was going to be with you to fight your battles. And yet in the midst of the comfortability, God asked them to move. Maybe in the midst of your comfortable life, God is asking you to move today, to turn, to step into a place that's unexpected, that there's no guarantees, but the fact that you believe that God is leading you and guiding you, the fact that you believe that God is on the journey with you should be all that you need. Man, can I encourage you today, man, do what you need to do to know God. Do what you need to do today to find purpose, to find freedom. Do what you need today to make a difference, because that's what God is calling us to. To get out of the middle and move. And so, Lord, I pray right now as we begin to worship you in this room, I pray that you would pour in the hearts of people the idea that it's time to move. Some people need to move. It could be as simple as moving to a front, to an altar, and saying, God, I'd surrender my life. It could be as simple as I just raise my hands and surrender to you, God. Maybe it's just opening our mouth. Maybe it's just making a declaration right where we're sitting that, God, I don't want to be stuck in the middle. I know that you have a next step for me. Help me to move. I feel like I'm on this circle where I'm wandering and wandering and wandering. I understand that, God, but I still believe that you have purpose. I still believe you have things for my life, oh God. And so, Lord, I pray in this room right now, young or old, that you would give us the power to move today. In the midst of our worship, in the midst of our praise, God, will you speak to us and give us the power to move. In Jesus' name. Worship you, God. I just want to close out with this final prayer. If you're here this morning and you say, listen, I'm on that journey wandering, and I need to commit my life to Jesus. I need to turn to him. I need to follow him in all of my ways and all of my thoughts and all of my actions. I want to give my life completely to him. I'm either living away or I'm in the middle, but it's time to turn. And if you're here this morning, we don't want to, not in the way we're going to embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. And with with our heads and our eyes bowed, and if you're here this morning, you say, that's me. I want to turn to God. Would you just put your hand up, put it back down. I just want to know who I'm praying for this morning. Anyone at all? Thank you. Anyone else? I see hands. Thank you. Anyone else? Real quick. Come on. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Jesus. Lord, we turn to you today. We turn to you today. We turn to you. There are those who raise their hands and say, God, I want to turn to you. Lord, I don't think we're alone today. I think all of us in some way, in some shape, need to turn to you. We need to turn to you, God. We need to turn our face and our eyes and our gaze upon you, O Lord. And some of us in here need to move. We need to move. We've been caught in the middle for too long, and we need to move. So, Lord, those who raise their hand today, where they are sitting right here in this place, as I'm praying this prayer, may they just call out to you under right there where they're sitting and just say, Lord, I turn to you. Forgive me. I turn to you. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Redeem me. Set me free. Lord, give them. Give me a next step. And my next step, God, is to follow you. So, Lord, we just call out to you today. Lord, would you come into our lives? Would you set us free and help us to live for you, Jesus, in everything that we do and say? Come on, can we sing this one more time? I'm a child of God.
This is the Christian Life Center weekly podcast. Visit us online at missoulachurch.com.